everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB. This is a Tuesday evening. It's sort of late in the east, perfect in the central time zone, even better in the western. We're glad to have you in here. Hope you're setting up in the eastern time zones, wherever that you might be, and that you'll listen in tonight because it's part eight of the Holy Blood and the Holy Grail. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. If you got your Bibles, we're going into the book of 1 Samuel. And we're going to start at the first verse for a gestalt for you. We're going to examine something very mysterious. I'm amazed at the lack of effort of Bible people, especially scholars. People that have started out probably hundreds of years ago. Including the scribes and the Pharisees. We're going to deal with them tonight also. We're going to tell you what prolific liars that they are. Now, it could be that the tradition could enter in, and a tradition could wreak havoc with your faith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is part nine. Got a email here from Brother Rand, and he says it's part nine, nothing ending. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something here tonight. We're going to tell you, above all things, that Yahweh is the truth and the devil is a liar. Now, the devil is the father of a lie. We find out that seed source called Cain. Now, I have proven to you, I'm the only preacher that you perhaps have ever heard. I don't know of another one. I'd like to be introduced to one so I wouldn't feel like the Lone Ranger. I'm not saying I've got the inside track on the truth here, but we know that there's not a lot of truth in the land. The Bible said that there would be a famine. Not for bread and water, but for the truth, here in the Word. And a word is so scarce, it's like you open up a hen, a chicken, and look for its teeth. You're going to be amazed. They don't have any. They have to swallow a stone every once in a while and to grind up the food that they eat and in their gizzard. Well, these thumping gizzard preachers that have swallowed a rock of deception don't have any backbone. They don't have any intestinal fortitude. They don't have any respect for your soul. They don't watch for your soul. A good watchman on the front of the wall will watch for your soul. And let me just give you an illustration here. Let's go back to Genesis 49, verse 10. Now, I've studied with a paleo Hebrew teacher, and he's a great one. Probably one of the most intelligent men that I've ever been around, especially in the Hebrew. We've been friends for 9 to 20 years, and we've had some great discussions. We've had some disagreements. We don't see eye to eye on everything. But bless God, I'm telling you, he's given me a lot of insight. Now, the insight to Genesis 49:10, let's pick it up just for a refresher course here to start our gestalt. We'll lay a foundation so that you could understand some of the great mysteries that we're trying to present to you, just to give you some fuel for your belief that you could get a toehold in the cleft of a rock and to hang on and to stand in opposition to your family, in opposition to the church, the local church where you're going, they won't teach what Pastor Buddy teaches. I have covered right here on WWRB, and Brother Bob, our webmaster, can prove this to you because he's got every message except tonight for the whole year that we've done on WWRB, and you can see a variety of teachings. Some of these things that we teach are controversial. They're mind-stretching, and that's what we are presenting them for, because the Holy Ghost has anointed us to bring you things that you could be astonished at, things that you've never heard. And not that we're trying to give you things that you've never heard or to give you something new, like the people up on Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, where Paul visited, and they were always looking for a new doctrine. And well, he gave them one up there. The same doctrine I'm giving you here tonight. Paul was not a Jew. I'm going to repeat that for the benefit of the stiff-necked, uncircumcised, stupid, ignorant, past-tense preachers that have preached that Paul was a Jew. Now, ladies and gentlemen, would you believe the Bible and his own writing and his own testimony? Well, if you will, let's go over to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to read the fifth verse. All right? Now, let me turn over there with you, praise Yahweh. And we're coming back to 1 Samuel and the last chapter of the book of Ruth. We're going to come back there just in a moment. But I'd like to prove something to you to show you how far out of touch with reality that these people are when they try to put a strange God or a strange bloodline in place of the truth of the Bible. Just like the name Ephrathite. Now, if you believe the latest round of the Christian church teaching, John Hagee, I could go on and on and on, they're going to preach to you that Jesus was a Jew. And they're going to preach to you that all the Jews are going back to Israel. Now, that's their teaching. But let me show you something in the Bible. First of all, that's not true. Jesus was not a Jew, neither was Paul. I'm going to prove to you tonight that David wasn't one. And I'm going to prove to you that Ruth married into the house of Ephraim, Joseph, that's the master tribe. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the word tribe also, and scepter. I want to show you how that the translators have made exceptions in places that it was beneficial to them, as opposed to putting in the standard reference word for, say, for instance, for scepter. Did you know that if you take a close review of Genesis 49:10, you'll find that the Strong's word in for a scepter is 76:26. Now, it's interpreted scepter. And I want to question that tonight. My friend pointed this out, my paleo friend. He said, at least we have an understanding that the meaning of the word scepter, it suggests such an authority as one might attribute to, number one, a supreme, sovereign, God-given, divine right to power of to rule. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where in the Bible does it say that Judah had the divine right to rule with authority? Now, I found a scripture back here in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2, that he ruled by prevailing. He prevailed over his brethren. That means, that word prevail means by his brute sheer strength, not by authority, not by the word of Yahweh. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that Judah had the birthright to rule with a scepter. Now, let me show you something else here. A correct meaning now is, why is the taken all the other tribes. Everywhere that word 7626 is in the text of the book of Joshua, where he was appointing each head their territory and their tribe, it was not scepter. It was interpreted as tribe. 7626, where the scribes, the crafty scribes, have put in this distinctive honor upon Judah and left out the other 11 tribes, call them tribes, but call Judah scepter, that he would rule with a scepter. But notice how the wording of the prophets here, and this prophet was Jacob, the man that gave the birthright distinctively to someone else, not Judah. If you read the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, starting with verse 22, you will read that this is the prophecy to Joseph, and that he had the birthright, and out of him would come the stone shepherd. Well, why is it that the world believed that the stone shepherd come out of Judah? There's some interesting things in the book of Revelations, chapter 5, verse 5. We'll try to cover now if I can get over there. I've been trying to get over for a week and haven't even got to the New Testament, because I get carried away in this holy blood, grail, bloodline of trying to expose the serpent's blood that was fused into the house of Israel. Now, I'm going to repeat this. Satan got, G-O-T, Satan got the remember now, he wants recognition. Remember, he's a liar. Remember, he's a thief. Remember, he's a murderer. And ladies and gentlemen, he would spare no expense to get into the bloodline to get the preeminence to prevail, as it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2. Judah prevailed over his brethren. He didn't have no scepter. There's not no Bible that says Judah's going to have the scepter. Matter of fact, it doesn't say that he's going to have the scepter here in verse 10 of 49. Jacob, who was prophesying about Judah, he prophesied about every tribe, every one of his sons. He gave them a prophecy. You'll find that it says about Judah, he said, the scepter will not depart from your house. I mean, that you'll prevail and rule over your brothers until the rightful owner comes, and then it'll depart from your tribe. Well, here comes along the Messiah. We're going to show you the controversy that he stirred up in the New Testament when we get over there. And we're going to show you that he said he was a Galilean. Now, Galilean is a 10 northern tribe territory, and we're going to prove to you that we're talking about Paul here. Now, let me read you what he said he was. Now, in the third chapter, I said, oh my God, I just wish I had the time to read. Let me just read verse 2. Beware of the dogs. Who's the dogs? Well, it says, beware of evil workers. Who's the evil workers? Beware of the concision. Who's the concision? That is, those who taught the method of circumcision with keeping of the law, ignoring the new covenant that Christ brought, casting him out and killing him, the heir to the throne. In other words, the birthright heir that denied that he was a Judean. He didn't say he was a Judean, nowhere. He didn't say he was a Jew, nowhere. And yet these lying scribes, the evil workers, the dogs, he said to beware of these concision. Christ said himself, he used the same word, beware. He said, beware of the scribes and the Pharisees. Who were these people? Now, I've proven to you that they, the scribes and the Pharisees, were the chief rulers. They loved the chief seats. They loved to be in control. Just like these lying scumbags. apostle, God's chosen people, and I can read it in the Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to build a temple. And Jesus is coming back, and he's going to sit at Jerusalem. But ladies, him, that one you call Jesus, first of all, and what his name, that's a shame. But you don't know that. You ain't beyond that. You don't know much anyway. I'm telling you, the devil deceive you and take you to hell thinking that you're doing right when you're actually doing wrong, and you're caught up in the tradition of things. Full well, you reject Yahweh's laws and commandments, and especially the truth that Paul was not a Jew. Christ was not a Jew. David was not a Jew. Nobody can read it in the Bible, but they keep on preaching it. I said, well, Paul says, well, here he was a Jew. You know why he said that? Because this fixed to kill him. And in a sense, he was trained in the Jewish laws of the Sanhedrin court, had once in his pocket at one time to kill anybody that called upon the name of Yahweh, because they tended to teach and preach that it was a sin, a blasphemy, if you will, to utter the holy name of Yahweh, not Jehovah, not Lord, not God, not Jesus, but Yahweh, Yahweh. As my paleo brother, Yahuwah. Yahuwah in the ancient paleo, in Aramaic, his name is written at Bethel, where he said he was from, in the 11th chapter of John, the 54th verse. He resided, where David resided, which was ancient Bethlehem Ephratah. I can prove it. And yet, the world has got him born down in Bethlehem, Judea, by the pen of the lying scribes that Paul said beware of them, Christ said beware of them, all the prophets were beware of them, because they knew the truth. For we are of the circumcision that worship Yahweh in the Spirit, and rejoice in the Messiah, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have the confidence in the flesh, if any other man think of that he hath whereof he can might trust or boast in the flesh, I the more. Here's what he said he was. He didn't say he was a Jew. No. Now, he didn't say he was a Jew. He tells exactly what his bloodline was. And I'm going to prove to you that he didn't have one drop of the blood of Judah in his veins. Not one drop. How could he be from the tribe of Judah? Pray tell me. Although he was in the house of Judah, as the house of Benjamin was miscegenated into that house and almost destroyed, and I've told you about how that went. And if you're a Bible student and a Bible study, you ought to know. I've taught you enough on it. Here he says, the circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Not the stock of Jude. Not the stock of Judah. Judah was a territory in the land of Judah, was in the land of Judah. Judea was the whole, they had actually changed it from the land of Israel. They didn't call it in the land of Israel in the time of Christ. It became the land of Judah because Judah was the prevailing dominant tribe, and the house of Israel, and for the most part, was dispersed and scattered through the earth. The lost sheep. Christ said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. 10. Matthew 5 and 6. In the 15th chapter of Matthew, he repeated, I am sent only. I am sent only to the lost sheep. Well, where were they at? They were in another country. They were in a foreign land. They crossed the Caucasus and went somewhere. The history will repeat itself entirely. You can prove these things in the you to believe that. Here's Paul. I am the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, I want to ask you a question. What stock was Benjamin of? Was he of Judah? No. So, then Paul, if he had the blood of Benjamin in him instead of the blood of Judah, then how in the hell could he be a Jew? Pray tell me that. How could he be a Jew when he had the blood of Benjamin in him instead of the blood of Judah? Then how could you rightfully call... Now, by religion, you could call him a Jew, but that didn't... His bloodline said he was from the house of Rachel. Now, where did Rachel die? We're going to entertain this word tonight for you, and we're going to put it under the Strong's microscope and do your homework that you haven't done if you've never heard this message, and we're going to take you to school and teach you the sound fundamentals of rightly dividing the truth and breaking it down into simple, plain English, where you could understand that the word is forever settled and nothing can be added to it, and you can't erase the fact that Jesse, the stem I talked about last night, from the root of Jesse, who was from the root of Boaz. Now, I proved that Boaz was an Ephraimite. In the first chapter of the book of Ruth, Elimelech and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, were Ephraimites, and Ruth married Mahlon, and he died along with the other son and Elimelech. All three of these died and left Naomi a widow. And when Ruth and Orpah married these other two sons, they died early, probably some kind of a genetic disease killed them early. And they now are eligible under the right to claim next of kin as a husband. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's very plain that Naomi had a plan and knowed the law. And she took her daughter and she tried to get him. I told you how that she tried to persuade him to go back and not come with her. Where was she going to, Pastor Buddy? She was going to Bethlehem Ephratah. She was going back to her people. She was going back to where that she could receive the middle of the widow's pledge, because she had vowed not to marry, because she said she had passed the flower of her age. Well, Orpah took her up on it and was persuaded not to go back to Bethlehem Ephratah. I'm going to prove where it's at geographically so that you'll know that these lying Jews and scribes and the ignorance of the Christian church and the preachers that have been taken to Crete by the tradition and the lying pen of the scribes, you say, I didn't know that the scribes lied. How would they lie? They're God's holy people. I'll tell you what. If you was to get out here and examine the works of these holy people, these people that call themselves holy, just because they say they're Jews, I don't make them Jews. I know them that say they're Jews and are not, but are liars. Christ told them in John 8:37, he said, I know you Abraham's children, but you seek to kill me. They had infused their blood, Cain's blood, through the woman that Judah married. Judah was plumb out of his gourd, as we say down here in Tennessee. He flipped his gourd. In other words, he lost his marbles. He didn't have any sense. He must have been physical, and he didn't have any spiritual, and that's what made him jealous of Joseph. Joseph was a spirit being, a high Elohim. And to that, Jacob, the prophet, recognized out of his brothers, just like Samuel. Here we're going to read about him and what he was. Did you know that everybody would think that Samuel was a Jew? Oh, my. Well, what was he, Pastor Good, if he wasn't a Jew? Everything in the Bible, Jews. Oh, really? Jesus was a Jew. Don't you know that, Pastor Buddy? Well, give me a book, verse and chapter. Well, it's in there because I hear my preacher say that Jesus was a Jew. Well, you can hear your preacher sing it like a canary and go over these traditional rituals that they do, but they can't prove that he was. He didn't say he was. Some people could say he was. They didn't make him one. Just like they call Paul a Jew. They didn't make him one. He was from the house of Rachel. Leah produced Judah. Paul's bloodline, his father, was from the blood of Ben-Yamin, and he died right at a place called Ephratah. Oh, hallelujah. And it certainly wasn't down in Bethlehem, Judea, as these lying preachers would like for you to believe. I'm giving you a history lesson. I'm giving you a geography lesson. I'm giving you a GPS, if you will, a lesson of understanding the truth. And if you want one, if you want to could, you say, I just don't like your attitude. Well, if you don't like my attitude of telling you the truth, go where somebody's got a better attitude that'll lie to you and go to hell. Where all nations will go and be turned into hell because they believed a lie. They didn't like the Messiah's attitude. They thought he was brash, cocky. They were astonished at his doctrine at 12 years of age. He is telling them down in the temple, he said, your father is Cain. You're mixed into the house of Israel, but you're a seed of the serpent. Judah got horny and laid the Canaanite and had a son. His name was Er. Well, he went right back to the well, got him another one. His name was Onan. Yahweh killed both of them because they were evil. And the third son from this woman, her name was Shuya. She died after she gave birth to Shelah. He was one of the 66 offspring of Jacob, along with him and his wives, which made 70 souls that journeyed down to Egypt when Joseph called for them. Ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. The devil's a liar and the father of it, and if you want to go to hell by listening to smooth speech and enticing words, you just step up to the plate and get in the pulpit up there with the lying scribes and all these false prophets that's going to soothsay you. But John came out of the wilderness with a hard saying. Christ came upon the scene out of the little town of the northern Galilee of Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judea. Bethlehem Ephratah is the home place of Joseph, located in the general region of 18 miles north of Jerusalem. Oh, dear one. You'd have to go approximately 10 miles below Jerusalem to get to Bethlehem, present-day Judea. Rachel was not buried down there, but the Jews will tell you. When you go over there, they'll take these Christians' money and say, you want to see Rachel's grave? Why are they promoting her anyway? Rachel wasn't their mother. Rachel did not mother one Jew or one Judite, for the proper language, Yehuda. She did. She was not the mother of one, not one, let alone thousands and hundreds of thousands or million. She was not the mother of one Judite or Yehudite. But she did mother the Ephratites up in a place called Ephratah. The great prophet Michael looked into the future and he saw the Messiah born, not in Bethlehem, Judea. I'm sorry, I didn't write the book. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Go beyond. beyond Jordan in Galilee, there shall arise a day star. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, 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 dear. Oh, it's me. We have been given this deceptional ball and a weave of misunderstanding, miscalculation, misguided preachers, preachers of tradition, believing a lie to be damned. And ladies and gentlemen, the people of Yahweh, the hard-headed, stiff-necked, uncircumcised Israelites, it should hear the truth and appreciate a preacher like Pastor Buddy that'll hazard his life and go to battle and wage war against the devil and his traditional lies and stand up for the truth to be counted. And everyone that's going to hear my voice tonight, you'll understand before I get through that the geographical area that Christ was born in was certainly not Bethlehem, Judea. Even the archaeologists now in Israel themselves are saying that Bethlehem, Judea didn't even exist at the time that the Messiah was born. Now, I'm talking about archaeology. They can't find one shred. Just like the Jews have always told you that they came through the Sinai in the southern Sinai. Well, Paul said they came through the northern Sinai in Arabia. In the book of Galatians, he revealed it. All the information that's been seen, chosen, all of the journeys of the Israelites, they crossed the Red Sea, and they didn't go into the southern Sinai. They went up north and crossed through into Arabia and came down into Galilee from the north side. The northern 10 tribes, that's where they came into, and guess where they settled? Well, of all places, they settled where old Abraham built his first altar. They settled where Isaac rebuilt the altar. They settled where Jacob rebuilt the altar, and there he slept on the stone. They settled where old Elijah rebuilt the altar and repaired it, and he certainly went in Bethlehem, Judea. That ain't the holy place. The holy place was the place that Jacob gave Joseph his birthright son. He said, you can have this, for out of you, out of your bloodline, out of your seed, shall come the Messiah, and he shall be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9. And if you read the first verse, beyond Galilee, as they have seen a light in Galilee, not in Bethlehem, Judea. Oh, they're gonna sing his praise here in about 20 more days or so. Oh, yeah, bliss, but he's born in Bethlehem, Judea. They'll have parades through Bethlehem, Judea. They'll take you over to see Rachel's grave, and you knowing, after Pastor Buddy told you, you probably didn't know that I told you, she didn't die in Bethlehem, Judea, and she was not the mother of Judah, Rachel. Tells you about where she's born. She died giving birth to Benjamin, who Paul said, that was my daddy. I'm an Israelite. There's two houses, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up and smell the coffee. When we talk about Israel, which one are you talking about? That one that claims to be Israel or that one that is Israel? The one that is Israel don't know who they are, and those that claim that they are Israel are liars because they know who they are. And the dumb sheep will follow the liar. They'll follow the goat. These goats, these billy goat gruffs, how they bluff their way through the scriptures, just like the pen of a lion scribe, where it's mentioned in Matthew chapter 2 that old Herod, who was the treacherous, he was an Edomite Canaanite, and he was a half Israelite and a half Canaanite. Just like Judah's offspring, Er, Onan, and Shelah, they were half-breeds. They were bastards. Not true house of the blood. No wonder Jacob passed over him and didn't hand him the scepter, or he did not hand him the birthright. And I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Praise Yahweh. I don't know why I'm preaching so hard on this subject. Notice here. The correct meaning of the word 7626 scepter, virtually every other occurrence of this word in Scripture is interpreted as tribe and not scepter. Now, I wonder why that this lion pen of the scribes would take out the word 7626 into Hebrew and put in scepter. They might want to make you think that Judah had the scepter. Well, the same writer that's writing here, Jacob himself said, well, it's going to depart from you, Judah, when the real deal comes, that's the Messiah. When he comes, the scepter will depart from you. Now, then Judas, it has stayed with Judah because Yahweh ain't an Indian giver. He don't give something, take it back. It would stay with Judah if it was Judas. It didn't belong to Judah. And the one that said, I know you're Jews, but you're liars. Because you say that, and you ain't, because you're out of the house of Cain. Yeah, you're mixed with the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah, Jacob didn't even know what old Judah went down there and married him a Canaanite and had him some offspring. And when he brought his grandson up, he didn't know. Because Yeshua had died. And then he got the Tamar pregnant. And you know these people that say that Tamar was an Israelite. How could she have been an Israelite when there wasn't no Israelites at the time Jacob is getting his sons? They didn't have any offspring. And she certainly couldn't have been big enough to marry Judah and bring children up. So she wasn't an Israelite because at that time there wasn't no Israelites. They were just sons and a daughter's offspring of Jacob. And Judah did not want to go where Isaac got his wife, where Jacob got his wife, where Abraham got his wife. He didn't want wives out of that perfect bloodline of the priest of On in the land of Asherah. Instead of the land of the Canaanites, he went down to a Canaanite land, and he fell in love with a Canaanite woman, and he bedded her, and she got pregnant, and she got pregnant again, and Yahweh killed both of them, and then she got pregnant again, and Judah, fearing Yahweh, hid him, and he went down to Egypt and stayed there for 400 years, and him and Simeon's Canaanite affection, they brought out a large mixed congregation of murky, and these are the scribes and the Pharisees that loved the chief leads, and these are the ones that Christ battled. Notice this. Listen how many times that it was translated. Hundreds and hundreds of times when it mentions tribe, it was translated correctly as tribe, 7626, not scepter. Now, I want to ask you a question in the framework of the understanding of the Hebrew laws, according to the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. When a older son marries and he dies from maybe war or some kind of a genetic or some kind of a illness or disease, or maybe Yahweh killed him, then that birthright that he was entitled to as the eldest son, it went down to the next son that was oldest. And then that son was responsible for bringing seed through the bloodline of that house, of the brother that died, so that he could raise up a memory, and these sons were the inheritors. Just like Judah, He had Sheila. Nobody will tell you about him. They want to jump over to Perez and Zara because they don't want to tell you what embarrassing things that old Judah done. He laid with a Canaanite whore. And he got a son. And to that son went the birthright. Praise Yahweh. He was the eldest son. He married. He had children and offspring, and they came out of Egypt with Israel, according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. You can read it right in there, and I've covered that, and I'm going back over just to drill this into your mind. You need to know and understand where the scriptures are and what authority and power, and where they changed the word. They changed 7626 as interpreted to tribe, and the scribes put in scepter. Yahweh alone holds the scepter. Jacob was a prophet of Yahweh. He appointed Joseph to be the scepter holder and the birthright holder. And Joseph got the territory of Ephratah. He speaks of it in Psalms 102. He speaks of his ancestors of being Ephraimites, not Judites. Oh, Pastor Bunny, Paul was what? I've always heard he was a Jew. Well, it says the bloodline was out of the house of Rachel. Now, if the bloodline was out of the house of Rachel, we got some kind of a genetic problem here of people that think. If you want to get Judah's family record and take a look at it, I'm going to give it to you. It's in 1 Chronicles. In chapter 2, these are the sons of Israel: Reuben from the house of Leah, Simeon from the house of Leah, Levite from the house of Leah, and Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Now, out of that, Joseph and Benjamin was from the tribe of Leah. The others was with the concubines, both the Sarah as in Leah. Then in verse 3, these are the sons of Judah. Now, I don't know why it started out that it's trying to explain to you something here. It didn't give Reuben's bloodline. It didn't give Simeon's bloodline. It didn't give Levi's bloodline. Jumps right down from verse chapter 2, verse 1, jumps down to chapter verse 3 here in the second chapter, and it starts in telling you something about Judah. I wonder why. Duh. Showing you something here. And the sons of Judah, Er, Onan, and Shelah, which three were born unto him of the daughter of Shua, the Canaanitist. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if a Canaanite bloodline is acceptable in the house of Israel, then I'm going to go back and tie out all of the Bible verses that says you shouldn't mix your seed with a Canaanite, and you should kill them if they come into your territory, not give your sons and daughters to them. And yet today Jesus loves everybody, and there's no such thing as bloodline. God don't look at the blood. That's God, he did then. And he's coming back to slay some people that's all blooded up in a snake fashion. Er, the firstborn of Judah. Now, which one deserved the birthright? Er? Or Phares? Or Zara? Er was the firstborn, so he would have been in line for Judah's birthright. Not Jacob's birthright. See, Jacob was the patriarch. Each son had a right to leave his fortune and the family home. I mean, when that man died, the next of kin, the oldest, came in and lived in his house and took over the patriarch of the bloodline of the 12 sons. This is the way it worked. It still works that way. All right, Er died, so now we've got to get to the second one. Onan died because it said they was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and he blessed them. Well, I'll be jog. They were evil. Er and Onan, the firstborn, Er, Onan was the second. They were evil in the sight of Yahweh, and he slew, he killed them, he slew them. I don't know how he done it. with that genetic running around, that's for sure. And Tamar, his daughter-in-law, bare him Perez and Zara. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why in verse 3 does it leave out the succeeding living son, Shelah, that here, right after Er and Onan? It's conspicuous, very conspicuous, that the lying scribes didn't want to put it in there because it was embarrassing, because they knew that he succeeded and lived, and according to Genesis 46:10, 11 and 12, that these Canaanite affections, they sons, offspring, went down with Judah, and there they married into the bloodline of the house of Israel, the house of Jacob at that time, before he came Israel, before his name was changed. And that would have been the birthright son of Judah. They leave him out because they want you to think that Perez and Zara is in the bloodline, and that they're birthright. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a lie. The devil may be. They're embarrassed about it, and I don't blame them. I would be too. And that's why they don't want it told. That's why they killed Christ, because he told them so. He said, your father's a devil, and the works of your father is a murderer. Proving that they were Canaanites. Judah married a Canaanite right out of the seed of Cain. The murderer. The evil one. The bastard seed. Satan's progeny. I don't know how I can make it any plainer than this tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And I haven't even got over to the book of 1 Samuel. I've got to get there to get this in here before I close. Now, we're talking about Samuel's birth. Samuel, the great prophet, the first prophet that was ever given to Israel after the kingdom of David was set up. Notice, now, there was a certain man of Ramathah or Zohim of Mount Ephraim. I wonder where that's at.
Well, it's probably going to Bethlehem, Judea. You know, he's a Jew.
Wow, stupid. Have you ever read the partition of the lands? The geographical partitioning that Joshua appointed? That the land of Ephraim was where the house of Bethel, where the name of Yahweh is written. And I showed you that the name of Ephraim is written right below the name of Yahweh, and he put his stamp and approval of his birthright son, and you expect the Messiah to come out of some bastard house of Judah bloodline? I don't think so. This is what made the devil mad, ladies and gentlemen. It's making him mad today. That's okay, because he's going to have a long time to get over it, somewhere where he burns forever and is destroyed for his devices when he mixed his bloodline and brought sin and corruption and evil and death into the world. He was of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elihah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Ehom, the son of Chusha, the son of Zeph, an Ephratite. Right there's that word. Now I want you to pull that word in Strong's, pull that word right there out. Write it on a piece of paper, flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 12, and read what Jesse was. Both of these are Strong's number, 669, a descendant of Ephraim, 672, and 673 will finally give you the explanation that he was from the house of Joseph Ephraim. Here is Samuel, an Ephraimite, called, his parents were called Ephratites, where David's parents was Jesse. His great-grandmother and grandfather was Boaz and Ruth. How soon will you wake up and smell coffee here, ladies and gentlemen? When are you going to get about your father's business? When are you going to take it upon you to know and to understand? Listen. Not the firstborn after the flesh Yahweh, a son of Joseph, firstborn after the spirit of Yahweh, the firstborn of many brethren. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and to rule or govern on account that the birthright is Joseph's. He ruled and prevailed when he got rid of Joseph. He took over. He said, I'm the big daddy on the block now, and if anybody got an objection, I'll whoop your butt. He prevailed. That means he strong-armed him. They all feared him. Read your book of the book of Jasher and find out how that they all looked up to Judah after Joseph left. Now, before Joseph left, he was the king. He was the ruler. He was the birthright son. And they all were jealous and envy of us, most of them from the sons of Leah. Benjamin loved him, and Joseph loved Benjamin. If you can see that in the account of the book of Joseph in chapter 35 through 37, where the Israelites, or the house of Jacob, came down to Joseph, and they all had to bow to him, including Judah. And when Joseph gave them the dream of Genesis 37, he said, "Oh, you going to bow to me?" Jacob said, "What do you mean? What the world's wrong with you?" Well, they all did. They all did. Ladies and gentlemen, this truth is so wonderful, so joy unspeakable and full of glory. The devil can't do nothing with its airtight. Yahweh locked it up and sealed it. Nothing can be added to it and taken away. And I'm guarantee you tonight, I got to get out of here. My time has come and gone. And I love you tonight. And I love you because Yahweh is the King of all kings. And he's coming soon after a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. You know who that is? He's Yahweh. He was an Ephraimite. He was from the house of Joseph. He was born in Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judea. Micah 5:2 said a son is going to be born to us in Bethlehem Ephratah beyond Jordan in Galilee. Well, now, if he was born in the south in Bethlehem Judea, then the prophet Micah lied, and the scribes up there in Matthew chapter 2 are correct. But I'm going to ask you a question. Why did they say he's going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, which is a lie? He wasn't born there. But why did they say that when in actuality he's going to be born somewhere else? He was going to be born in Ephratah, geographically Bethel, the house of David, the house of Jesse, the house of Boaz and Ruth, and now the house of the Messiah, where he himself is now abiding in glory. His feet, ladies and gentlemen, walked for the last days of his life. He walked over to Bethlehem Ephratah, called the city of Ephraim. St. John chapter 11, verse 54. Well, he went home, ladies and gentlemen. Are you going to go home? Are you going to climb up that mountain where Jacob's well was? That's where the woman got the message. Ladies and gentlemen, the first holy place was Shiloh in the territory of Joseph. That was the birthright son, and yet it was drug off to a Canaanite stronghold called Mount Zion. That's where the Messiah was crucified, and they call that place Sodom. I don't know what you can make out of that, but an unclean city. Yahweh bless you tonight. I'm sponsored by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. And I appreciate them and their tithes and offerings to make this available to you. Yahweh bless you for doing it, Mark and Andre. I love you. Now, if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy, you can do so by writing to Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you want truth, you can have it. If you don't, just go on and listen to your lies and your traditions and things you can't prove, but things that you think is right. There is a way that seemeth right. Turn your ears from this and you might walk away from life. Respond to this and it might be the first step toward the truth. It'll reveal it to you. It's an eye-opening experience to have it. The Holy Ghost said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on a Tuesday evening, late in the East. Area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to go to our website, that's oneyahweh.com, oneyahweh.com. Brother Bob will have this posted for you very shortly. We love you tonight. Keep the faith. Don't deny his name. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB 3.185, Wednesday night on 10 o'clock, Clear Channel, transmitting, and also simulcasting on Internet worldwide. Tonight, the mighty voice of WWRV. I love you. I'll see you.
Those hands were nailed to a tree.